I have a very dear friend and also co-producer and collaborator on the phone with me, who has deep, deep understanding of what's going on with Cuba because she was born there and her husband was born there. I'm so happy to welcome my dear friend, Kenya Ati. Aloha, Kenya. How are you?
Aloha, Cindy. Thank you so much for having me in your program. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I know you've worked with the Latin community, many, many awards and Grammys and Latin Grammys, and you have worked with some of the musicians in Cuba. You grew up there, and it's got to be heartbreaking to see what's going on in Cuba. And I know you have friends and relatives and musicians you know there. It's been probably hard because of what's going on with the internet, but what have you been hearing about what is happening in Cuba?
Yes, Cindy. So what's happening is on July 11th, the people of Cuba said no more. They went out to the streets and they started demanding freedom. And by that, they mean freedom from the dictatorship. Cuba has been a repressed and oppressed country for 62 years, since 1959, and the people of Cuba are tired. They have no freedom. They cannot have freedom of speech. They don't have any medicine. They don't have any food. They're starving. Their COVID rates are really high. Some people have been without water or electricity for a long time. Mm. And until the country changes, they live in very, very miserable conditions. But the main message that they want to send out to the world is that they want freedom.
Absolutely true. And it's sad when things get very political and politicized. I know that Biden did come out and make a stand for Cuba, but then, of course, it turned around, and then the Republicans said this isn't enough. And it's hard being in the situation where you know the people. And I think, unfortunately, when it becomes political, I don't know if it helps or hurts, but the bottom line is the people are being, it's terrible what's happening. You have seen the Black Berets taking people, and sometimes it can't be confirmed if they die or not, but they're taking protesters and families can't find them. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. So you were very right when you said this is not about politics. This is not about political party. This is about human rights violations. This is about repression. This is about shooting to the people when they had no weapons, no guns. They were peacefully protesting on July 11th, and the police was very repressive. They took, we don't know exactly the amount of people who are currently in jail because they were protesting peacefully, but the numbers have been oscillating between 700 and 1,000.
Wow.
But the government, of course, is not disclosing that information, that people are in the United States, some organizations are trying to keep track of how many people, but it's impossible to know exactly how many. But we also know that among these people, they have children. They have kids that are from 15 to 18 years old that are currently in jail, and the parents haven't been able to even see them.
And then on top of it, because everyone knows, you know, there's such a need to find out what's going on. So what happened is the Cuban government's shut down the internet. And what's the status of that? And how do people know what's happening now with their friends and relatives with that happening?
Yeah, well, the internet has been going on and off, right? So they shut it down, they put it back on. So it's very repressive. People who even pay for this service with money that their relatives sent from the United States have been complaining that the internet is very slow. They have several websites that are blocked completely because they don't want the Cuban people to know what news are going on in the world about what's happening over there.
So do you have any contact? I know you've worked with some wonderful, famous Cuban musicians. And the Cuban music, as you know, and you often tell me, is part of the lifestyle of Cuba. And you know how beautiful these Cuban musicians are. What's happening through that end? Have you been able to hear about what they have to say, or has there been any contact with your friends there?
I haven't had any contact with my musician friends over there. I have been in contact mostly with family. There is a little bit of controversy around some of the most popular musicians there, because some of these musicians are on the fence because they, for example, I don't know if you know him, but Silvio Rodriguez is a very well-known figure, internationally even, and he's always been very revolutionary, and at sometimes he has been on the right side of the fence, but lately he's been pretty much comfortable with his position because he made a lot of money and he has a good living in the country. So now a lot of people turn to him to see what he had to say. And we had one of the leaders in the movement down in Cuba actually went and met with this artist in his studio to ask that he intervenes with the government and request that the political people who are in jail for political reasons are let go of jail. But he said he's going to try to do something, but so far we haven't heard. I haven't talked to any of my friends or clients that are into music over there. Well, it's difficult to get in touch with them.
Well, you've been involved in the Latin community in the Bay Area. I know you had some protests that you were involved in. I know it's been going on countrywide. I would imagine Florida has the largest amount of Cuban population in protests. Do you get the feeling, is this coordinated efforts, or is it something that it's very hard to coordinate because of the politics? How do you feel about the efforts of the American and the Cuban Americans and the American people supporting the Cuban people?
I feel the efforts that are being done in the U.S. are definitely coordinated. I don't think we have enough support from the American people, especially not in San Francisco, because the people in San Francisco are trying to advance their own agenda against the United States. So San Francisco, as you know, is a very liberal place where we always, defending people, but they believe, most of the people that I know here in the Bay Area believe the problems that Cuba have are due to the U.S. embargo. Uh-huh. And they are totally wrong. The embargo is there. I'm not pro-embargo. Obviously, the embargo hasn't solved the problem with Cuba for 62 years.
Right.
But we cannot blame the embargo for all the repression and depression that the Cuban people are going through. The Cuban people need to be free. They need to be able to speak their minds. They need to be able to have a normal life like anybody else in the world. I mean, we're talking about a government that is very rich. These people have a very good life, but the people of Cuba are dying. Mm-hmm. They are dying in the hands of police. They're dying out of disease. They're dying out of medical conditions because there's no medicine. There is no idea that the medical care in Cuba is free is an utopia. It's very utopic because there is no medicine in Cuba, so it doesn't exist.
Mm. It's hard to even imagine. We don't see it, and we both remember, and we've actually talked about this on a travel show a couple years ago, and you said, okay, I want to go to Cuba. This was 2 years ago, and you were going to plan to go before COVID hit, right? And that, when tourism was open, when tourism, before it shut down, everything was looking like there was great hope. There were cruise ships that were going to be going in that were booked, and everything was kind of lining up, and there was hope. And then, of course, to make things worse, not only did COVID completely shut that down, but then the Trump administration shut things down. And that kind of made things, in my opinion, worse, because all of a sudden, people couldn't go to Cuba. No money was coming into Cuba after all that hope of tourism. And then to top it off, now you have the problem with COVID, and tourists who would even have come from other countries couldn't go in. So I can't even imagine. That must have had some effect with all that money all of a sudden just draining up.
Yeah, you're right. The COVID situation hasn't helped at all. But the fact that the U.S. People couldn't travel to the U.S. was never a problem because Cuba has a lot of tourism going from other countries.
Yeah.
The government is building five-star hotels in beautiful beaches that the Cubans can enjoy. It's just for the tourism there. So, yeah, we get tourism from Spain, Italy, and Canada, a lot of different countries. It was very big over there before COVID hit. So that's what I mean by having a dictatorship in place. I mean, they have a good life because obviously there is money to build the hotels. There is money to give weapons to the special troops that are out there repressing people for marching peacefully on the streets. There is money for patrol cars, but there is not money for ambulance. There is not money for food for the people. The people are not allowed to have their own businesses. They don't own anything. The government owns everything. Every store, every hotel, every hospital, every school is owned by the government. So the people can really do any business. They can now have a regular life like anybody could have in other countries.
So hard to fathom. It really is. And the problem is, of course, even if these, I find them so courageous, those people that were risking their lives on the July 11th protest. But now at the point where now if they're not able to get the video out to the news resources and they're going to risk their lives and be taken to jail because they're videotaping their faces and they're tracking them down, it is pretty much going to make it seem like, is it worth it to protest if you're going to be jailed and it's not even going to be shown on the internet or on TV? So where does that proceed? I mean, I think that places the major responsibility with the other people who are of Cuban ancestry and who support Cuba to stand up for those that can't do it now in Cuba.
Correct. But right now there is a lot, it's a mix between a lot of fear, and there's also a mix with having lost complete hope. Like I was talking to a friend of mine who lives there, and he was telling me, why am I going to go out to the streets? This doesn't solve anything. Things are the same. They have been the same for 62 years. So people have lost faith that they can really change the government because they're powerless. There's nothing they can do to really change it because the dictators don't want to leave the country. So the people that are outside of Cuba, we're trying to raise awareness at least to the world, because if we don't tell the people what's happening there, they don't understand. These kids, they're people from the university, they're very young kids who are trying to make a change by being peacefully protesting on the streets, and they are currently in jail. Some of them have been put in jail without even a trial. They don't have a right to get an attorney. They just went straight to jail for years just because they were peacefully protesting and asking for a change, a change that is very much due, and it has been due for 62 years.
It's, you know, it's really heartbreaking because it's so close to the Florida. I mean, and there's such a rich heritage and so many very good people. And you know, they're being throttled and killed. And of course, we can't even see what's going on. We can't really know and tell. We don't know how bad it is there because we're not seeing it, and they're not even being allowed to be expressing it in any free way. And that's just so contra what we know. We can't even begin to think and imagine what that's like. Yet here we are looking at knowing that things are going on in Cuba. I hope, and I'm sure you do, that things in works is being done with Biden and the administration to try to give recognition and some help to Cuba. It's very, very, very difficult because, you know, what do you do when there's already sanctions imposed? You want to impose sanctions more on the government, but you know, you wonder if those sanctions will damage, you know, more people. But you'd have to have them really targeted just to certain people. And I guess that's where it stands with the government right now, right?
Yeah, the sanctions, in my eyes, there's nothing new happening because one of the band-aids, as I call it, that Biden put in place is to be able to send more money to the actual Cuban people. That's already in place.
Mm-hmm.
So people in Cuba receive money, they receive food from the United States. 60% of the chicken that they eat in Cuba comes from the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an embargo, but it's not 100% blocked from Cubans receiving goods from the U.S. And this is not what we're discussing here. So I think the government is kind of missing the point a little bit. We want freedom for Cuba, but we know it's more complicated than that because
yeah.
Cuba has been a very strategic country
yep.
that still has ties with Russia.
Yeah.
So I think for the government to be able to do anything, they're a little tied. They have their hands tied. But what I would suggest to people who don't understand the situation in Cuba is to go over there and live there as a Cuban, not as a tourist with money. So go over there with no money and try to live as any Cuban so you could understand what Cubans go through. If you haven't done that, then don't say that it's the U.S. embargo. At least talk to the Cuban people who live outside of Cuba who can speak freely, who have gone through the experience
mm-hmm.
and who really know what's happening over there.
Well, and I hope that people can watch, you know, newscasts that are not politically slanted. I know I watch BBC to see what's happening, and I see more on BBC than I see on American networks, truthfully, on this. And, you know, I just Googled where I could find more information out, and, of course, the Miami Herald comes up with the most information. So, I mean, you have to do a deep search and find the right resources to try to find out what's really going on. I guess there's some YouTube sites maybe, too. Are there any you go to?
What I would suggest is to get to social media and type in hashtag SOS Cuba.
Okay.
And then you will have a lot of videos, a lot of news resources that talk about it. And you will find many different points of views, which is great. I mean, this is a good dialogue that we're having with people. Some people are not understanding the reality over there, but that's fine. At least go to hashtag SOS Cuba, put it on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on YouTube, and you will find tons of information out there.
Thank you. Well, I love you, and I thank you for taking the time in your busy schedule to tell us about what's going on and giving us the information. And I love you.
Thank you for all you do for the world. You make this world better by just being you.
Well,
thank you.
I love you, and you keep up the good work, and keep, I know, standing up for what's right for the Cuban people.
Thank you.
Actually,
I have to say, this is for all Latin American people, not just for
it's
Cuban
true.
People. We want to defend our friends and our brothers and sisters from Nicaragua and Venezuela as well.
Good for you. Thank you, and thank aloha.
You. Aloha, bye.
Bye. All right, and that's the Travel Angel Radio Show. Thank you to our sponsor, Ron Guest from PwC, for making this show possible.